Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. I guess it's far enough away, I don't need the glasses. This is the Apostle Paul to the church at Galatia. And he writes, "So I tell you, live by following the Spirit. Then you will not do what your sinful selves want. Our sinful selves want what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit wants what is against our sinful selves. So the two are against each other. So you cannot do just what you please. But if the Spirit is leading you, you are not under the law. The wrong things the sinful self does are clear: being sexually unfaithful, not being pure, taking part in sexual sins, worshiping gods, doing witchcraft, hating, making trouble, being jealous, being angry, being selfish, making people angry with each other, causing divisions among people, feeling envy, being drunk, having wild and wasteful parties, and doing other things like these. I warn you now, as I warned you before, those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, here's the good part, the Spirit produces the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law that says these are wrong. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their own sinful selves. They have given up their old selfish feelings and the evil things they want to do. We get our new life from the Spirit, so we should follow the Spirit." Let me read that one again. "We get our new life from the Spirit, so we should follow the Spirit. We must not be proud or make trouble with each other or be jealous of each other." Thank you.
Good morning, church. Today is a special day for many reasons. One of the reasons is that we have the privilege of having our younger children with us during the sermon time. Usually they go out for the junior worship during this time, but today they're with us. And they should have a sheet like this. I had some special helpers that were passing these out. Alan, are you around still to hand some out if we need some more? Anybody not get one of these? One of the younger children? Okay, back there in the back, if you can hand some of those out. And back over there. This is a special sheet for you guys to help you follow along with the sermon today. And you'll notice that there are lots of little pictures on this handout. Along the top, there's these doves, okay? And on the bottom, there are doves as well. And today, we're talking about life in the Spirit. So whenever you hear me say the word, or the phrase, Holy Spirit, I want you to circle one of those doves, okay? So if I say Holy Spirit, you circle one of those doves. But also, those other pictures you'll see, some of them will show up on the PowerPoint, and when you see those, color those in. You should have some color crayons that have been handed out to you as well. Now, you older kids, I want you to do all that, but also, since you're bigger, write the scripture references on the back, okay? Then afterwards, come up and show me what you did, okay? So that's the plan for today. All right. Lori mentioned to me earlier in the day that today there's a big hockey game, right? The big game between Canada and the U.S., right? For the gold medal. I guess for the silver medal, too, but anyway. And, you know, I was telling her, I feel kind of torn there because we lived in Canada for 3 years. And, of course, I'm an American. I could show you my passport to prove it. So you're kind of torn. But the reason I'm torn is because for the Canadians, hockey's not a game. It really isn't. It's like a way of life. I mean, it's they breathe it, they drink it, they think about it, it's their whole life. So I kind of, if they lose, there's going to be weeping and mourning and wailing that we can't really understand south of the 49th parallel, okay? So anyway, it is a way of life. And today we're talking about the Christian way of life. the Christian way of life, that which is what we are drinking in and how we live and what comes out of us as Christians. And it's life in the Spirit. We'll be looking at several different passages this morning, but our main one will be Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and following. Let's begin with prayer. Our Father, we come before You now. We are before You, and we want to know You better. We want to understand who You are. We want to understand how we're to live. And so please teach us. Teach us better than any teacher that has ever lived could teach us. Teach us now. It's in Christ I pray. Amen. Today we're talking about the Christian way of life. And you know, if you were to ask the average person about the Christian way of life, they would probably, if they're not a Christian or they're just a little bit familiar with us, they would probably say something like, well, Christianity is just a set of rules, do's and don'ts. You know, a big long list of things. If you do this, then well, voila, yeah, you're a Christian if you do that. Okay? But you know, that's a misunderstanding. We are not just a group of people that have a moral code. There are other religions that are basically like that, but ours stems from something much bigger. Yes, we live a particular way, but it's because of some certain things that we believe about God. And we've got to begin, when we talk about how we live as Christians, and we do have morals and ethics that are unique, we've got to not start with them, but start with God. Everything flows from who we believe God is. And so we begin this morning talking about God. God. The nature of God and the Christian way of living. There are certain things about God that speak to how we are to live. One of the things that we believe and we confess is that there is only one God. This is called monotheism. The idea is that there's only one God. Everything else is just kind of a phony. There we go. Okay? Looking for the word. The Bible teaches there is only one God. And from the beginning to the end, we see this message. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. We believe in monotheism. But you know what we also believe, and what's revealed to us very clearly in the New Testament, is that God is also three. The threeness of God. And later theologians, not in the first century, but a couple centuries later, they coined a word that helps us think about the threeness of God, but yet the oneness of God. And that word is Trinity. It talks about the threeness of God, but Scripture talks about this as well. We've mentioned a couple times in this series on things that matter that this passage, the Great Commission, where Jesus is getting ready to leave, he gives some important instructions, but he says, we're going out and we're baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There you have the threeness of God. You also see in other passages in the New Testament references to the threeness of God. In 2 Corinthians 13, Paul says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And he's seamlessly talking about these three persons of the Godhead because they are all God indeed. Some theologians and others have utilized the concept of an egg to help us understand what God's threeness is like. So you see up on the screen an Easter egg. I wanted to get one that was kind of colorful because it doesn't do any good to just put a blank egg up there, right? Because that's just one color. But if you do an Easter egg, you can do several colors, kids. But an egg illustrates that in some ways. We have an egg, but yet there's the shell, and there's the, what other parts of the egg are there? There's the yolk, right? And there's the white. But it's all one egg. And this is one illustration that's been used. And every analogy, every metaphor talking about God is going to fall short somewhere. But this is the idea. God is one, but yet He's also three. And the third person of that threeness, that Trinity, is the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. God the Father is associated with creation and judgment, law-giving, covenant-making with Israel in the Old Testament, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Of course, when we think of God the Son, we think of the Incarnation, His specific mission when He came to be with us and to teach us how to live and how to die, really, and to die a sacrificial death for all of us. But the Holy Spirit was there also at creation, was there also in the ministry of Jesus. But now, in the age of the church, He has a special mission with us. He does all kinds of things. When Christ left and He said, I'm going to go back to my Father, He said, I am not going to leave you alone, though. I'm going to send you another helper. And that helper is the Holy Spirit of God. Here are at least five things that the Holy Spirit is seen to be doing. Things, the work of the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to talk about one in particular a little bit later. The work of the Holy Spirit is that of a counselor and a comforter. In John chapter 14, as I said, Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to leave you a comforter. Uses the word of someone who comes alongside to help out when you need someone to help. Jesus says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that I want you to go and await when the Holy Spirit will come and He will give you power. And so the Holy Spirit gives us power. We see in Romans chapter 8 verse 26 that the Holy Spirit is involved in your prayer life. Did you know that? When you're praying and sometimes when you can't think of the words to pray, the Holy Spirit of God is going to bat for you and interceding with words that we can't even comprehend to God the Father. What is coming straight from your heart to God is being communicated, even if you can't find the words. But also the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. The Holy Spirit is out there convicting us, working in the consciences of men, working whenever the Word of God is proclaimed to make people realize that they need to change and be more God-focused. And then finally, we know that the Holy Spirit is in the business of gifting the church. We've talked about that several times here in this series, about the gifts that are given. But if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 12, verse 4 through 6, it's an amazing testimony to the work of the Spirit. Chapter 12, verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. The Spirit is a gift giver. He's also the very gift of God's presence within us. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to us to come near to us and to give us the gifts that we need to build up the body of Christ. But perhaps the greatest thing that He does is He lives within us. He indwells us. When we're baptized, the gift of the Spirit comes to be within us. God's very presence will be with us. But it does something. He's not just hanging out. He's actually doing something. And what He's doing is He's transforming us into the image of God. He produces a certain kind of thing. And that certain kind of thing is referred to as fruit. Now, I asked for a couple helpers from the third grade class to come on up and help me during this part of the sermon. So, remember who you are. Cameron? Blanked out your name. Elise, right? No? Emily, yeah. Come on. Libby. Come on up. And then, what's this one? Can't remember. Anyway, Juliana, that's right. Okay. All right, I've got some fruit here. Here, take one. There you go. Take one. All right. Cameron. All right. Now, this is a song. We know this song, right?
Yes.
The Fruit of the Spirit? Okay. We're going to sing it here in a minute, but they're going to hold up the fruit when it's there. Stand over here. There we go. Now, one of you stand over there, and then, right here. And you're going to hold it up first when we first sing the song through, because we're all going to say, the fruit of the Spirit's not an apple. And then the second time through, you'll hold yours up, and it's not an orange. And then the third time through, you'll hold up yours, because it's not a banana, right? But this is the great Fruit of the Spirit song that teaches us about what the Spirit is doing in our lives. So let's sing this song. The fruit of the Spirit's not an apple. No. The fruit of the Spirit's not an apple. No. If you want to be an apple, you might as well forget it. You can't
can't be a fruit of the Spirit, for the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Hey! Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit's not an orange. The fruit of the Spirit's not an orange. No, if you want to be an orange, you might as well forget it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, for the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Hey! Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit's not a banana. No. The fruit of the Spirit's not a banana. No. If you want to be a banana, you might as well forget it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, for the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Hey! Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Hey!
All right. You guys can take that fruit and go down and sit back with your parents. Thank you very much. Let's give them a round. It's kind of scary standing up before 200 people, right? So that's good. All right. This song illustrates the idea that the Spirit is producing fruit in us. That's what the Holy Spirit is mainly about. He wants to change the way that we live and turn us into people who look like God. Now that sounds pretty radical, right? Maybe that could even sound kind of arrogant, but that's what the Spirit is trying to do in my life and in your life. He's trying to make us look like God. This passage says in verse 16, Jeff read it a few minutes ago, but let's take another closer look at this passage. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under law. You see, Paul says, I want you to live by the Spirit. And just so we get them some things straight, you have a sinful nature or the fleshly side of you that doesn't want to live by the Spirit. And there is a conflict going on in every single person. Maybe it's like that, you know, those cartoons that have the angel on one side of your shoulder and the devil on the other. Have you ever seen those cartoons, kids? You know, or big kids? Where they're kind of whispering in your ear. And that kind of makes light of it, but there is this sense in which the Holy Spirit of God that lives in you is trying to pull you toward God, but your fleshly side is trying to pull you away from Him. And there is a conflict going on. How can we know when the flesh is winning out? Because that's kind of an idea like that. Paul says, well, here's some indications. If there's some fruit like that that's showing up, sinful nature fruit, then guess who's winning the battle? And he points to some things. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Verse 19, sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. The flesh is pulling us away from God, and so false gods will be what we'll follow. We'll get involved in witchcraft and worshiping phonies and fakes, not the true God. The flesh will also be having us misuse our bodies and take them in a direction that God did not intend for them to go. Sexual immorality. Or maybe it's abusing your body with drugs or with alcohol and those kinds of things. The flesh will have you do that because that is not what the Spirit is about. It also will cause enmity and strife and fighting and fussing. Wherever the devil has a chance, he wants to cause people to fuss and fight. And that is the fruit of the flesh, and we don't want that. The Christian way of life is different. It is one of saying no to the flesh and yes to God's way. Not the way of the world, yes to the way of Christ. And Paul says that when you do that, you will see the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified or put to death in a bad way the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep up with the Spirit. The Spirit of God wants to produce certain things in our lives. When it comes to our relationship with God, He wants to promote love, actual devotion toward God, and self-control of our bodies and our actions and our words. Living by the Spirit produces joy in us because there is this joy that bubbles over because we know who we are, we know where we're going, and we know whom we serve. It also has to do with faithfulness, staying true to our Lord when others may pull us away. But many of these fruits that we see from the Spirit will show up in the way that we treat other people. Kindness and gentleness, being patient with one another, forgiving. And all of these things are things that are characteristics of God. Being a gentle and kind person is simply to be like God. That's the way He's been with us. When the Spirit of God is working in your life, you're going to be patient with people because He's patient with us. You're going to be forgiving of people because He's been forgiving of you. This is what the Spirit does. God Himself working within us to change us. Well, someone might say, well, hey, preacher, I mean, if it's just about the Holy Spirit doing all this stuff, maybe I don't have to do anything. I should just kind of sit back, kind of like sit back and watch the Olympics today. Just kind of put your feet up and let all this change happen to me. Well, that's where we would be wrong, because the Bible teaches that we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Cooperate with what God is wanting to do in our lives. Look at Galatians 6, verse 7 through 8, just a little bit past where the fruits of the Spirit passage is. Paul says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." There is this principle in the New Testament that yes, the Holy Spirit is what is working in us to change us, to make us look like Jesus, but we have to get on board with that. You have to do something yourself. You can't just sit back and be a passive person about your growth in holiness and righteousness. The Spirit is willing. It's like this engine that's, should I say, a Toyota car or something that's the accelerator. Okay, bad analogy there. That's just kind of revving up, right? And what we should do is let it go. Let it do what it wants to do, but we've got to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. We've got to yield to the Holy Spirit because He wants to make us look like God. We've got to do our part. And if we're not seeing these fruits in our lives, then we can assume that something's wrong. You know, as I was preparing this sermon this week, I was looking out my window in my study out there, and I looked at those beautiful apple trees. You know, we've got an awesome orchard here. The kids, you know, they love playing that when the rain's not around. But you know, they produce great apples, great fruit. And if one day we were to come out there and see a banana hanging off there, we would say, wait a minute.